Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in an hour, Danan Hughes will join us. Of course, he will be in Buffalo Sunday afternoon on the broadcast right here on 96.5 The Fan for the Chiefs Radio Network. Him, Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, we'll be calling Chiefs and Bills. And so we'll ask Danan a little bit about the offense for Buffalo. I'm curious to get his perspective because you look at it, we know about James Cook and Josh Allen. Receiving-wise, not all that impressive. But who maybe worries him the most in that passing game for the Buffalo Bills? I think James Cook is a huge factor there, but we'll get Danan's perspective on Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, and the rest of that wide receiver room for Buffalo. Also, a little bit later on in the show today, we'll talk a little fantasy football. Paul Charchian, it's getting down to crunch time already for a lot of leagues, man. If you're in a hole already, you better get going. You know, there's some leagues that start playoffs week 13, week 12,
yeah.
And so it'll be here before you know it.
There's already a couple of leagues that I
you're done?
Yeah, it's done for.
There's one where
where I started making trades for future draft picks. Like,
in your dynasty one.
Well, it's crazy because I have Malik Nabers, Cam Scataboo, Bucky. Does this sound bad? Bucky Irving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just like, I can only keep one player in that league. You can keep one guy if you draft him in the 10th round and keep him on your roster the entire year.
Oh, so it's
year.
A keeper league, not a dynasty.
Yeah, it's like a mix. You can't keep your entire, it's just a keeper league. But you can keep one guy you draft in the 10th round or later. But and I just picked up Tyrone Tracy because I'm number one on the waiver wire, even though I had, and I don't even need him. There's no point. The season's over. So I picked him up just to trade him. It's a waste. Stupid fantasy football. Like, I knocked out a guillotine and none of us are left in the Cody Gold guillotine.
Yeah, not that one. Yeah. I have one other one that I'm still going with, but it's, I love it though. I love it. I spend way too much time on the dynasty league that I'm in and stuff. And it's fun.
I stink.
That's what it's all about.
I stink. I want to be better, but I stink. Okay? That's just what it is. I accept that part of reality, and there we are. Now, the Chiefs do take on the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. We'll talk even more about the Mahomes and Allen part, the matchup, obviously where that team is. And you had mentioned, Keon Coleman doesn't exactly have me shaking in my boots over what they are offensively, but obviously the next few opponents have some similar qualities, including rushing and offensive lines. But I was thinking about the Chiefs more, and as they sit, now, what they've done this season, we're not talking necessarily even accomplishments. It's just what they're capable of doing every Sunday at this point. And I ask myself a very simple question that I guess I want the answer from everybody on too, which is, this is the best Chiefs offense since? And I think you have to go at least 2022. I think it's better than 2022's offense. So I would say the best Chiefs offense since 2021. I think it is as good, if not better, than 2022, the way it is currently constructed and actively working on team. This is as deep as they've been. The running attack is maybe the argument I would have against it, but I could say this is certainly as good of a line as those teams. What's different, right, when you start looking at them on paper? It's pretty comparable.
Well, they've never had a wide receiver room with this kind of depth and these weapons 1 through 4, let's call it. You know, if we add in Travis Kelce to that 1 through 4 picture, and you know, we know where Mahomes is playing. We talked about this on, you know, Tuesday's show, that this is the first time in a five-game stretch where Mahomes has had at least 250 and at least three touchdowns in a game in four or five since the 2021 season. And so, you know, I think there's an argument in 2022, Mahomes, of course, was playing great.
Yeah, he was.
But in 2021, that's to me when the offense was potentially having the better stretches. You know, in 2022, if you're just looking from a points per game perspective, yeah, the Chiefs were the number one offense in football, 29.2 points per game.
What are the Chiefs averaging since they got Rashee Rice back?
Yeah, and so if you're wondering on the season, Kansas City this year is seventh, 26.8, but their last three games, the Chiefs are averaging 29.7, which would put them only behind Dallas, 31.7, and of course, Indy, 35.7. So the Chiefs are the third best offense in football the last 3 weeks. I know we've been talking Denver is 0.1 better. So the Chiefs are the fourth over the last 3 weeks. So they're still not the number one offense, actually, believe it or not, points per game. Now, you'd go and you step back, and if anybody watched the games, you know, and you say, well, the Chiefs for the entire fourth quarter against the Raiders.
And at least half of the third quarter or fourth quarter of the last
game. So some of that was complete foot off the gas. But I'm just telling you what the numbers, obviously. Sure. I think this is why you can't just go off the numbers. You have to have some context. But I think we all recognize where things are at. I think there is a chance, a real chance, that by the end of the season, it is the best offense that we've seen since even 2018 when it's all said and done. When it's all said and done. Not there yet.
But you're willing to say that it's possible by the end of the year.
And nothing's going to surpass the 2018. It's just not the combination of running back success.
You're never going to have an offense like that again.
No. Yeah, Tyreek Hill. I mean, just you're not going to have that. But when you look 1 through 4 weapon-wise in this offense, the level of play that you have Mahomes at right now, assuming it continues, because it still has only been 4 weeks of it, if we're being real. But we think it will continue the remainder of the season. So all of a sudden, you'll have a much larger sample size, and then the Chiefs will easily be a top 3 offense if they keep going where they're going, then I think it will be this in 2018. Now, to get everybody on board, we're talking about the offensive feeling, not is this year's team going to be better than the 2022 team and all that. I know how everybody's determining that. We have to wait till the end of the year. Nobody's going to want to say a year in which you don't win the Super Bowl is better than a year in which you won the Super Bowl. So I get
it. I just meant from an offensive
perspective. I know you. I'm just saying, because I know somebody's listening saying, well, if they don't win it,
how good were they?
Correct.
They didn't win it in 18, and we all agree it's the best one.
Correct. So just they're two different conversations, but I think people's answer at the end of the year will be determined by did they make the Super Bowl, et cetera.
Okay, so I want to give you a couple of stats, because Mahomes' stats are not going to be equal to what 2022 was, even though I'm telling you I think it's better than or at least on par with that offense. That year in 2022, Patrick Mahomes threw for 5,250 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. He's actually pretty close on the touchdowns and interceptions. As far as the pacing stats go on that, he is not currently pacing for 5,250 yards. Although, I would like to point out that combined gold, he's a lot closer than you think because of the rushing yardage totals being so much higher this year than they've been really at any other point. Now let's talk receiving. Travis Kelce was their leading receiver at 1,338 yards. Pretty good year from old Travis. Don't think they're going to have a guy equal those numbers. Although, again, at the end of the year, will Rashee Rice be pacing at those stats had he played the entire year? Maybe. Their second wide receiver was Juju Smith-Schuster at 900. Third was MVS at 687. It's deeper than that. It just is. It's a better wide receiver unit on total than any of the other numbers I'm going to give you in there. Their rusher was Isaiah Pacheco. So it's not like, now, best version of Isaiah Pacheco, admittedly, right? We would say because it was the rookie year Isaiah Pacheco in 2022. This is, on paper, and even just based on where they're performing, very similar. I look at it from the last month, they're averaging more points per game, or as many points per game as they were the entirety of the season in 2022. The reason why they led the NFL in points per game that year was nobody averaged 30 points per game. Not because this offense, who's been fourth, as you pointed out since then, is better or worse. I think that it's better than 2022. 2021, I'm not willing to go with yet.
2021, the Chiefs had 29.4 points per game. They were fourth in football. They were behind Buffalo, Tampa, and Dallas had the number one offense in football that year.
But he had less yards per game and less touchdowns per game. So you're like, how was 2021 to me had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? That's why it's tougher to beat. And still had McColl. Look, they weren't deep after that. Their third leading wide receiver was McColl, and fourth was Byron Pringle. So I'm not here to tell you that they had some like awesome hidden depth somewhere gold underneath that number, and you're like, wow, look at him go. Because it was, but it's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Do you know how hard that is to match? Like, when I just put it that way, Gold, how hard is it to say, well, and that's the thing that I'm always going to have a hard time, like 2021 or all these other things, they're going to make it difficult. And their leading running back was Darrell Williams. Would we say current year Isaiah Pacheco, when healthy, is he better or worse than Darrell Williams? Comparable?
I would choose Isaiah Pacheco over Darrell Williams.
Yeah, sure. He had 1,128 scrimmage yards, for what it's worth, and he had 10 total touchdowns. So he had a nice year. Like, you might get to, like you said, at the end of the year, it might not be a crazy thing to say this is the best offense since 2018. Because 2018's offense had what these other two didn't have, which is, by the time they're done, we might all agree it's a top five offensive line. Now, I will admit, the Simmons versus Jalen Moore thing is a huge swing in that. With Simmons playing at his best, I happen to think that they are one of the five best offensive lines. I'm less sure about if Simmons is going to be on the field, and I'm less sure about that if Jalen Moore's the guy. It is the deepest weapon since ever. It's probably even deeper than 2018 weapon. Deeper. Not top heavy, but deeper.
And has anything changed by Tuesday? That's the trade deadline. 3 o'clock our time on Tuesday is the trade deadline. I think most of our attention has been on adding to the defensive side of the ball more so than the offensive side. I know they're, I'll call it almost a pipe dream right now that they're going to trade for a running back. And that's even with
keeps the getting mentioned by national people.
Yeah, but, yeah. Even the Isaiah Pacheco knee thing could change perhaps the calculus on that, especially if, let's say, Sunday they look terrible in the run game and or Kareem Hunt gets injured or something, and then all of a sudden you're down two backs. Well, then you're forced to make a trade. But right now, I think if they're going to make a move, it's the defensive side of the ball. Clark Hunt, Chiefs owner, was talking in the press box on Monday night before the game about Brett Veach and the aggressiveness.
Brett Veach has historically been pretty aggressive at the trade deadline. If he feels like we have a need, he's not shy about going out and addressing it, and I think that'll be true again this year. Obviously, an important part of it is, you know, where you stand from an injury standpoint, and we've been pretty fortunate up to this point. We were sad to lose Norman Lott last week, and that definitely hurt us along the defensive line.
And that was Clark before the game, so this was before the Isaiah Pacheco knee sprain, which we don't know an exact timeline.
No.
But Andy Reid was asked yesterday, was like, do you think it's all that serious? He's like, I don't think so. You know, sounds like they maybe believe this is a couple-week thing, and then Pacheco's back in the mix. I think we do know Brett Veach is willing to be aggressive, but as Nate had mentioned to us, you know, a couple days ago, is it for a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick? If you have to go any higher than that, then all of a sudden that's when ownership gets heavily involved and you have to really sit down and make a tougher decision. Are you willing to eat really into your 2026 draft capital? Nobody's going to care if you give up a sixth or seventh round pick.
Yeah, I
understand.
And I don't care.
And I understand they have had some success. They found Pacheco in the seventh round. We'll see what Breshard Smith
ends
up being.
Jalen Watson,
so
there's lots.
They have found value there. But in general, if I tell you they find a rotational edge rusher and it takes a conditional sixth, I think it's worth the flyer is what I'm saying to help you this year where your team is trending towards a direction and they are the current Super Bowl favorites.
The thing is, you can always regain a sixth whenever the hell you want to. Gold, you trade down four picks in the second round. You trade down a little bit in the third. Sometimes you just swap a fifth. You can pick up a sixth. Picking that draft pick up back doesn't change much. The real question is, so I did a dive a little bit because I'm like, all right, what are the players are still talking about and what are the positions? Everyone's saying defensive line, right? Edge or interior. All a possibility for Kansas City. Mentioning a lot of the names that you would expect and some names you wouldn't. The two that surprised me are people are still mentioning running back. And as of this morning, I read two different articles, Gold, that suggested the Chiefs trade for, not trade away, trade for a corner. Citing that they still think that that might be a weak area in the Chiefs' defense.
I think that's one of their strengths.
They could use some help. And that's where I'm stuck. Do the Chiefs, here's the thing. I do think that the Chiefs internally might think of it more of a weakness than we do, just based on the fact that they brought in Christian Fulton because they were like, we don't have enough bodies. And we need more in order to make this thing deep enough to do it. Fulton's not getting on the field. It depends on how big a believers they are of No Williams, I would say. If they're still skeptical, but No Williams just got on the field because Christian Fulton was hurt and doesn't know the defense, I guess they could look to add. But wouldn't they have to ship someone out in conjunction with that? Wouldn't they have to send out Joshua Williams? Wouldn't they have to send away Christian Fulton? Like, they're not going to trade for a corner unless they're also shipping one away. The numbers already don't make any kind of sense to me. I've just been surprised at the lack of substantiated rumors related to the Chiefs versus just everybody predicting who they could hypothetically go think for. There's not anybody actually talking trade.
No, but you know, they play Sunday in Buffalo and then it's a bye week. And so Monday and Tuesday, players are away from the facility and everything. It is all at that point about the front office Monday and Tuesday of next week. It is in the coaching staff, and Andy Reid can be focused in on that as well. Like, coaches will have an opportunity to have a little bit of a break, but that to me is why it's been also, and why there shouldn't be worrying about what the Chiefs are doing at the deadline, and why there's not a ton of noise here on a Thursday, less than a week before the deadline. Worry about Buffalo, and then my guess is on Monday all day, and then half of Tuesday, that's all you're focusing on. Now, look, they make calls, like, you know, rumors, you know, depending on what you want to see out there. Brett Veach has called other general managers to find out who might be available. There's also some teams after Sunday's results that then might be like, all right, we talked a week ago. All right, we just lost again. Now we're willing to move on from said player, whatever.
Giants lose, maybe Thibodeau's on the market. Bengals lose, maybe Trey Hendrickson. If they win, maybe they stand pat.
It can change. Yeah, definitely. Injuries also impact this for everybody. Suddenly, not just the Chiefs, but another contender has a key injury at wide receiver, defensive line. Suddenly, that's another team that's in the market for a defensive lineman. Or, you know, it works in multiple ways. So I'm not worried about that. The rumors, we all love them because it's fun fodder. Oh, but yeah. So many times the rumors also never turn out to be a thing anyway. So I'm fine with how it's trending. Monday's show will be interesting because not only will we be talking about hopefully a Chiefs win, but that's when I think you're going to really start to hear noise. Monday, during our show, during Carrington's show on Monday, is when I think we're going to really start to hear a lot of rumors, which will be 24 hours out of the deadline.
I want to ask you about trading guys away for a minute, because I think that that's the most interesting position the Chiefs are in, because as you mentioned with corner, I actually think they're deep there. Unlike the two national articles I read, in which they've got guys, they like Knowles and activate him to the 53 and he's not playing every day. They have Christian Fulton. So like, they seem to me, as many teams look for corner at the trade deadline, to have a net positive in that department where they could make a move. The other one in which they have depth is wide receiver. Is there any part, and I saw Carrington ask it on Twitter yesterday, is there any part of them tempted to move Tyquan Thornton? And that's the only name, because I think Juju's already playing more, he's involved more. Is there any part of them be like tempted by it, I guess? I wouldn't be.
I hope not.
If I were the Chiefs, I wouldn't be. I want him running his 50-yard route every other game and taking our shots still. I'm just, is there any part of them that would consider it? That's all.
I hope not. Yeah, I did see that as well yesterday. I guess I get the thought process, which is why not steal a 6th-round pick for a guy that's not under contract next year? But a couple things with that. Number one, given the injury history of all three wide receivers that are currently atop your depth chart, injury history with Worthy suddenly. I know it's just one injury, but he's still playing, guys, with a dislocated shoulder. It still only takes one hit. Okay, yep. So Worthy is banged up. Rice is still, you know, a guy that had a serious knee injury a year ago. He's playing great, but like, he's had a major injury in the last calendar year.
He has.
And then you have Hollywood Brown, with all due respect to him. He's got a injury history as well. I hope he stays healthy, but
he's been healthy so far this year, but you know, yeah.
It's been a while since he played a full season. My point is, enjoy the depth. We don't need to get greedy here. Yeah. So no, absolutely not. I would not trade Tyquan Thornton. I also believe there will be a game, maybe it's Sunday, where they will feel like there's an opportunity to stretch the field. It has been now 3 weeks where on film, there hasn't been that much Tyquan Thornton. And so I think he is somebody that will still end up helping them win a football game at some point in the next month or two. I like the depth. Somebody gets banged up for a week even. And let's say it's Xavier Worthy. Well, then your deep threat, you lost that deep threat. I want to be able to plug in Tyquan Thornton for that. So absolutely not. I don't care if he has no contract beyond this year right now. No.
I'm 100% no. The other part about him not having a contract is, I'm thinking you got to think in the long term too, which is Tyquan is a good candidate to bring back next year.
Yeah.
No Juju Smith-Schuster, no Hollywood Brown. Like, do I need to go through the receivers who defended? I don't think either of those guys will be back in a Chiefs uniform next year. Which means, yeah, sure, you got the base. You got Xavier Worthy. You got Rashee Rice. You can hope that Jalen Royals in a year or two. Look, his problem is not, I don't know if Jalen Royals is good at all. His problem is that he is surrounded by a tremendous amount of talent. And so he's not going to get on the field right now. And so what? Maybe he develops into your third down guy, or just like your let's get 200-300-400 yards guy, whatever, next year. That's fine. And Tyquan then seems to me to be a perfect fit for bring him back on a cheap 2-year deal. And, you know, like, Andy seems to like him. Mahomes seems to like him. There's a good rapport between them. Like, part of me, Gold, is just like, nah, I like him for a next year guy. So I'm not giving him up for a sixth. What, I did all this work? I picked him up last year, did all this work to get him to fit inside our offense, and now I'm just giving him away to the highest bidder for a sixth rounder? Look, if they came,
and that's all, and that's all you would get for him too, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Best case scenario. No, it's okay to have depth. It's also a long. It's still only week 9. The Chiefs are not only playing half a season. We all know they're in the playoffs, and they're usually playing 20 games a year. So yeah, I don't think you get greedy. That's just like you're basically just trying to steal a 6th round pick at that point. And I know you want to be active and churn the roster and all that. That's not a position where I think you mess with it.
No, I wouldn't. I like either position.
Yeah, someone says Brown didn't practice yesterday. Yeah, he's sick. I'm not worried about that. Like, I'd be like you having the flu for a day. I'm not worried about Hollywood Brown not playing. Yeah.
Gold misses one show for sickness. I'm not looking for a new co-host. Relax a little.
What an interesting comp there. Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, illness, that scares me. For Hollywood, hamstring, shoulder, ankle, foot, any of those. Real injuries, not, man, sick for a day. We're fine on that end. He's been healthy this year. They've been healthy this year as a team. We've talked about this before. Like, they, for the most part, and this is part of the reason I think their offense is really clicking, is they got injured right away. They were missing Rashee Rice. And it was like, boy, we're back where they started last year where they needed Tyquan. They needed these guys to do it. They've just been slowly adding people back into the mix. They've lost. Now, obviously, they've had a little bit of a hiccup here with Trey Smith missing a game and Simmons being gone. But, like, still, I think things are okay.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk about Mahomes versus Allen, another one of these regular season matchups. This will be the 6th one in the regular season. It's typically lean towards Josh Allen in the win-loss column. We'll discuss where both quarterbacks are at heading into Sunday's matchup. One thing, though, that has been a really, really nice thing to see going back to, I would say, Baltimore. So after week 3, and that is what Juwan Taylor has been able to put together. And you can say, well, this is what he should be doing. And I'm with you. But also, I just want to acknowledge it because in the opener against the Chargers, Juwan Taylor had 4 penalties. In Philadelphia, he had 2. The Giants game, he had 1. Since then, so for week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Juwan Taylor has had 2 penalties. 1 was offsetting, so it didn't even hurt him. Well, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like there was a hold in the back of the end zone. It didn't. Right. I guess he actually held before the other guy held, so he kind of got bailed out on that one, but whatever.
You get the point. So he's cleaned things up. You know, the talk that we had where, you know, Matt Nagy was quoted as saying, like, you know, we've made it very clear to him. We're like, okay, but why should we think it's going to get corrected? Let's give the guy some credit. He has, to this point, cleaned his game up. He's playing pretty well. He's doing what you were hoping he could do, considering the contract.
Yeah.
And it's very important that he's doing it because, again, you're playing with your backup left tackle on the other side. You also, this past week, had your backup right guard playing. We'll see how Trey Smith does today. Remember, he practiced yesterday. Is he able to go today? Because that's the bigger,
and he was limited yesterday,
bigger sign with the back injury. But Juwan Taylor deserves some props here. Like,
yeah,
he was the focus, understandably so. It was awful the first 2 weeks in terms of penalties. He's cleaned his game up, and that is something that is, I think, very important in this whole conversation about how the offensive run game has worked as well.
In his time in Kansas City, he is the most penalized player in the NFL. So we crushed him, and I thought rightfully so. I am with you that what's most important, Gold, is not that he's just cleaning it up in general, because I've accepted Juwan Taylor for part of his flaws. He was a penalized player before. You signed him and paid for him to be a slightly better than league average right tackle. He's been a slightly better than league average tackle. And he has always been guilty of penalties, so he's committed penalties. Like, you've mostly gotten what you paid for in Juwan Taylor. With Trey Smith being down, and more importantly, without your regular starting left tackle, there was 2 games into this season, and we were talking about whether or not Jalen Moore deserved to be starting over Juwan Taylor because he was actively hurting the team. And when that was no longer an option because Simmons was away from the team, they needed Juwan Taylor to be his best so that those questions did not come in line. And so that Jalen Moore didn't have to just get picked on an island over on the left side. And he's done it. So honestly, genuinely, credit for Juwan Taylor for righting the ship for now at the most critical moment. Look, when Simmons comes back and they got their full depth back, if he makes a couple of mistakes, I'm going to be willing to forgive him a little,
and
knowing that he cleaned it up at the time that was most important for the record, for the schedule, for the missing elements on the offensive line.
There was a question too, like, all right, if he has to change a certain way to avoid the penalty, does that hurt his effectiveness as just a blocker?
Hasn't so
and
far.
It has not to this point in time. And I'm not saying he's going to go the rest of the year and not have a penalty. Like, he might have one on Sunday against Buffalo, but it's nobody's saying that he cannot ever be penalized. It's that you can't be getting the three penalties a game. You can't be getting the critical moments.
Not for just lining up onside or offside. Yeah, you know.
He's going to get penalized plenty more times the rest of the year. It just cannot be the multiple a game, the three a game, four a game craziness that was happening in week one of the season. But that's been a big positive for Kansas City, having Juwan Taylor going here. Of course, you can tune in this Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Bills right here on 96.5 The Fan. And a big thanks to our friends at Yingling for their support of the Salute to Service Games. Yingling, a true American lager, saluting those who have served our great country. Up next, let's talk Mahomes versus Allen. And one thing that has changed in the NFL across the board this year, and we think we know why, but we'll see if you guys agree.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Agree. Next. Tomorrow we hope to see you out at Community America Credit Union in Blue Springs off of 70 on the Outer Road. It's 1800 Northwest South Outer Road. We've been doing these tailgates throughout the season. A ton of fun coming up tomorrow. Free food to the first 100 people. They always have a great food truck out there. Chiefs cheerleaders, Casey Wolf, Chiefs Rumble, and it's on Halloween. So we're going to be dressed up. You guys can have a little Red Friday tailgate, but also dress up in your costume. Face painters, candy for a special Halloween Red Friday. The big ATM is going to be out there as well. So you guys know what that means, a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Chiefs game.
They're calling it the Colts game. So like the next
big game. So hope to see you guys out there. The weather's also going to be nice. We're done with this rain and crap. So tomorrow's going to be great weather for the Red Friday tailgate. Hope to see you guys out at Community America Credit Union, Blue Springs, off of 70 on Outer Road.
We love seeing you out there. It's a great time. And again, I don't know what kind of food it's going to be. We've gotten tacos and the world famous honey dog.
It's all good.
As the previous two. So could be anything. What are you hoping for? You know?
That's a good question.
I feel like variety is always nice.
I know it won't be this again, but like to me, taco food truck can never go wrong there. It will not be that again, I'm sure. But I don't know. Let's go with like back to the barbecue mix or something. We'll go with something like that.
We'll see what we get.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomorrow, Community America, come out and see us out there in Blue Springs.
Have you got the costume figured out?
I haven't tried it on, but yeah, sure.
I need to iron on a few things.
Iron on a few things? Mm-hmm. Little craft project. You own an iron?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not used it in a very long time.
But you do own one.
I don't wear dress clothes all that often. And so when I do, I just take stuff to the dry cleaner and then I just have it already in the closet and it's good to go. And so I don't wear a lot,
button down shirts sometimes when I teach. Do you think the kids care? You think I could just wear a t-shirt to class?
Yes. Yes.
It'd be fine?
Yes.
I think you could. Now, I'm with you though. I would not dress that way, but I think you could if that's what you're asking. Like,
you're saying you would also put on like a polo or a sweatshirt or sweater or like a button down shirt.
I think it depends. Do you want,
I'm not trying to give off any kind of thing other than I got to teach you, you know, like I'm not trying to be like,
what other thing?
I'm not trying to like air of professionalism or like be the cool teacher. I just want to like,
okay.
But also like, I feel like they're not going to take me seriously.
But I'll say this, if you wore a nice pair of jeans and a Royals hoodie, I also think you'd be okay.
Okay.
I think people would think you're more laid-back individual.
I wouldn't wear like, you know, a beer t-shirt and shorts teaching the class. I don't think I would do that.
Sure. Wouldn't wear flip-flops and
shorts. That would also scream of unprofessionalism, I guess, in the from a university standpoint, especially.
Like part of it that scares me is like yesterday in my walk to class, I walked past the department chair.
Mm. Does he or she say anything?
No, we did a casual acknowledgement of like, hey, how are you? And then moved on about our day. But she would have seen me dressed. Like, what if I was dressed like, you know, well, just in a t-shirt? Maybe she wouldn't like that. She's a professional, you know?
Text line said, you're not a real teacher. So why dressed like one?
This is why you're not a real teacher.
This is why you're not a real teacher.
I do think there is for teachers.
I mean, I can't fight it now.
I do think for teachers, like there is probably an expectation when you're at university and that level
to dress like a
suit, blazer, at least something like that.
No, I don't wear a suit.
That would be hilarious if Cody just started wearing every suits day to class.
To class? That's crazy.
The most laid back I can think of a teacher. Like there were some teachers who were laid back and chill.
By the way, Cody has Professor Tapp a little bit later on.
Yeah, that's right. You were fired up about it yesterday.
I said we're going to learn a life lesson. It's something that took place this week that I think is, I've determined in the last year, is a much more valuable part of life. Okay. So I'm gonna get into
it. Let's go. I'm excited.
It's going to help you improve the quality.
Let's go.
You know?
Interesting. Thinking of that, I did buy the book
that we
were talking about.
Okay.
I haven't started. I'm waiting until I'm going to read that. I'm out of town or on the flight.
Okay. The one that convinced Vinny to go to Paris and to London to watch the Jets play.
That book.
Okay. Let me know how
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since it has been a while since I just flat out bought a current book, New York Times bestseller, and just read it. That's just not, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Not my thing normally, but I'm looking forward to checking out a little bit and just doing that.
Maybe it's going to jumpstart.
We're taking a few days off.
We'll talk about the World Series or something happening in football here in just a minute that seems to be pointing to one very obvious thing. But I mean, let's face it. Sunday is still Allen versus Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Mahomes versus Allen, depending on which city you're probably coming from. It gets pitched either way. I also say that this is just more like how I introduce couples. It's not like boy first or girl second. It's always like, or boy, you know, it's just like whatever name sounds good. Like people call us like Emma and Cody, Cody and Emma. I think you just go with the one that has better flow.
Mahomes versus Allen.
Yeah. So whichever one's got better flow.
Mahomes versus Allen has better flow.
And so it's obviously a big matchup every time it happens. And I think what stood out is Josh Allen has actually played better in the postseason matchups, but lost more of those games because their defense has played significantly worse in the postseason matchups than they have in the regular season. This is still the preeminent matchup in the NFL. It is still one of the best rivalries in all of professional American sports. This matchup should still have juice. I think what's taking away from it a little bit is Josh Allen has gotten these regular season games, and so because of that, people aren't putting as much into it. I still put a lot of stock into the number one and number two quarterback in the NFL dueling it out for supremacy, especially because they both have a lot on the line. The Bills, for the first time, are having their division threatened. The Chiefs, for the first time in a while, feels like they're having their division threatened. These two teams are behind their normal pace and are facing off against each other in what is another high-profile matchup. I think it is still Mahomes versus Allen in the best quarterback matchup in the league.
Yeah, it is. And it should be billed that way. Josh Allen also doesn't have as good of a defense as he's had in the past. And so there's a feeling like he truly is going to have to put the team on his back. And typically when these two quarterbacks face off with each other, we see their best. I mean, it's very rare in the five regular season matchups, the four playoff matchups, where both quarterbacks didn't play great. Like, we all know about the 13-second game and everything, but the difference for me in this game is, like, if we're talking from a team perspective in as well, you're right about on the regular season side, this is usually the time where the Bills get Kansas City, where Josh Allen gets Kansas City, and then we know what happens in the playoffs. I don't think the Bills are as positioned, as well positioned as they have been to accomplish that in the regular season.
I think there are plenty of times the Bills had the better team.
Though. Yeah, and that's what
not I'm saying. The better quarterback.
They do not have the better team here. You know, they do not have the better quarterback. They don't have the better coach. That's been constant throughout the rivalry. And they don't have the better defense this go around. And they don't have the better all-around team. They have some great playmakers. James Cook is incredible. He just had 216 yards of total offense, or on the ground, I should say, last week against Carolina. But I feel good about how they stack up. As far as, like, the narrative stuff, it's interesting. In the offseason, there were a ton of the national, the Ringer, or whatever, any of these other sites that were putting Josh Allen number one. There was a lot of sites. And so I think we had this discussion during camp, which is whatever happens this year, if you're already annoyed with the offseason conversation everybody just went through about Mahomes and he's slipping up and Josh Allen surpassing him, I disagree, but that was a popular conversation.
It was.
Then you better hope Mahomes comes out and has a great year, because it will cause the majority of people to say, no, it's Josh Allen, not Mahomes. Well, to this point, Mahomes is the MVP favorite. He's playing great.
He leads the NFL in total.
Josh Allen's not terrible this year by any means. It's just Mahomes has been clearly better. And so Sunday's game is still a lot about that for me. And now you can say it doesn't matter for the Super Bowl in terms of, like, what people think. That's true. It doesn't matter.
Proving again.
But if you want to squash the narrative, shut people up, Mahomes go out there, beat Josh Allen. Because if the reverse happens, if Josh Allen plays great and beats Kansas City, people view it, Mahomes loses to Josh Allen is how people will frame it. And it'll be like, see, he's still, you know, this is the year. This is the year he's going to get him. And we don't have to waste our time doing that, hopefully.
I know in the long run, it will just be comped as Mahomes and Allen. We won't be looking for one that it compares to. But what is the historical comp? Because I go back to the Manning-Brady one, which Ross Tucker mentioned. And what that is missing is, at that time, it was Peyton Manning has all the stats, all the yards, all the touchdowns, all the stats, and Tom Brady's got all the championships. In this matchup, Mahomes has both. Right now in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is 4-0 against him in the playoffs. Josh Allen is 4-1 against him in the regular season. So they're 5-4 against each other, but they've played 118 games versus 120 gold. How many of the quarterback stats do you think that Josh Allen has over Patrick Mahomes? It's not record. Patrick Mahomes has a better record, completion percentage, more passing yards per attempt per game, more passing touchdowns, less interceptions, a better quarterback rating. The only stats in which Josh Allen hasn't beat are rush attempts and rush yards, and obviously he's got him crushed in the rushing touchdown category, something he's done. And then all the other, like, accomplishment ones, Pro Bowls, All Pros, Super Bowl MVPs. Josh Allen didn't have many of those other than Pro Bowls. So, like, he didn't have them crushed there either. So it doesn't feel to me like Manning, Brady. There feels to me to be more of a separation still between the two, even though he is 1-2, and that's what Manning and Brady were. Because Patrick Mahomes has the stats and the championships. He has both right now. He has everything you want in a lot of ways. Like, if I'm a Bills fan, I hate Patrick Mahomes. He has everything we want. If Patrick Mahomes, if you just, like, Thanos and he never existed, Josh Allen would have so many more things in this world, right, than what he currently possesses. And so I do kind of agree with you that we go into this game saying, keep him in his place. You're one, he's two. Keep it, you're one and he's two. And I do think that Patrick Mahomes loves reminding people of that fact. And if he's going into the season with the better team gold, it makes sense that he would try to do that on Sunday.
913-586-7965. Someone says, nobody ever said Josh Allen is better than Mahomes. That's just not true.
Lots of people have said that. Not here.
Like, that's just not true. You may disagree. I'm with you. I think that is crazy as well. But acting like nobody has said that this offseason, I'm not going to spend the time, you know, sending you every link. But if you do even a quick Google search or search Twitter from reputable outlets in the offseason, that 100%, heck, we probably have a clip in the system from this offseason of somebody, yeah. Ryan Clark or somebody, saying it. Like, the texter responded to you saying, listing off why Mahomes is better. He said, you're literally proving why Mahomes is better. Yeah, that, again, not listening. We are not saying Josh Allen is better than Mahomes. We're saying that that was the narrative, and if you want to squash it, go out there and win.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different than that. Mitch Kelly, he had mentioned, he said it's more like Jordan's Bulls and the Utah Jazz in the sense that the Jazz had two of the best players in the league at that time and didn't accomplish anything because Jordan existed. I do think that there's something to, and look, Tom Brady kept Peyton Manning out of the, he kept him out of the championship ring for a long time. But Peyton still got two. By the time this thing's all said and done, do we also think Josh Allen's getting one? I'm just kind of curious now.
No.
Do we all think, are we, like, what percentage? How about that? What percentage would you put on Josh Allen gets at least one ring? Gold.
He'll get one.
So you think 70% chance, 50% chance he gets one?
No, it can't be that high.
That's what I'm asking.
It can't be that high.
If you think he's getting one, I would think you're at least 50.
Well, yeah, 50 is not 70. Yeah. I mean, look, the AFC quarterback, there'll be new quarterbacks that come in every year, but when you look at the AFC quarterbacks, you have a Joe Burrow who can't stay healthy. You have Lamar Jackson, who also deals with health issues and can't get over the hump. Trevor Lawrence is never going to be that guy. And Justin Herbert has the tools, we all agree. Ross Tucker admitted yesterday as well, like, you got to win a playoff game at some point before I can have that conversation. We all like Drake May this year, but let's pump the brakes before we act like he's leapfrogging the line.
I mean, he's outperforming him, and he beat him already.
Yeah, it's what that's no different than Josh Allen.
I'm talking about the whole season. He's outperforming Josh Allen this season.
I agree, but again, it's nine games. Like, well, I'm just saying, like, Josh Allen beat Mahomes in the regular season four times. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's see what happens if they have to face off in the playoffs, let alone a second time in 1 year. I don't believe that Josh Allen is behind any of these other quarterbacks in the AFC. It's Mahomes and Allen still. And so that's the first hurdle. Who can get through the AFC to get there? And then you still have to worry about the NFC. So, yeah, I think if we're going through the big three or four in the AFC side, percentage-wise, Mahomes, of course, already has multiple rings. Then I would say Josh Allen is still the most likely. After that, it's very close percentage-wise still between Lamar Jackson and the next grouping, Joe Burrow. I've told you, not just to get Drew agitated, but like I think Joe Burrow might end up being Dan Marino. Like, great Hall of Fame quarterback, but because of the franchise he's on, they might never get there, as in winning it. So that's where
I'm at. They might have had their chance, like Marino did in his second year.
Yep.
And then just never get back into the game again. Look, somebody in there is not winning one. Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, at least one, maybe two, but at least one isn't getting there.
I think it's not going to happen. I know they're having a bad season. Lamar is more likely to me to win one than Josh Allen is.
Interesting. And look, you love Lamar, and we've talked about this before. He's a great player.
This goes back to the MVP conversation last year. I think you really think Lamar, of course, should have won it last year.
I think
everybody thinks Lamar should have won it last year. I don't know who doesn't think that.
But I'm just saying, people voted, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like that. Yeah. Ever since that happened, you've been, and it's fine. Like, we all did. It's been very obvious because whenever we have this conversation, you've been very much like trying to push against the Josh Allen.
No, I think
like,
this goes
narrative.
Back even further. Josh Allen. It goes back to the fact that he's never beat Joe Burrow in the playoffs. He's never beat Joe Burrow in his career one time. Like, I think it's. I understand that he's a great quarterback, but to me, it feels like. He feels like the James Harden type of player where look at all he does. The guy's an alien. He's a freak. Look at all of the stuff that he does.
You say he's a stat padder,
but
it's
he
not.
He doesn't. I think Lamar Jackson.
His postseason numbers are so good.
I think Lamar Jackson is also kind of in that category. Yep. James Harden's postseason numbers, I bet you, are outstanding. Russell Westbrook's numbers are outstanding, but they don't win titles. They've never been to a championship outside of one time for Russell Westbrook. Josh Allen hadn't even gotten there yet. And whether it could be Mahomes, whether it's Burrow in the playoffs, that's been what's caused him problems where now all of a sudden you're getting Drake May, who is competing with you and playing at a better level in the same division. There's more competition. I think some of it falls in line with how the division has looked for Josh Allen the way that it was for Tom, that if Josh Allen had to play against the consistencies of what now is the AFC West or what used to be the AFC North, are we sure that he looks as good or the teams are as good as what they were, or is he just playing in an easier division where he gets the one seeds or anything like that? Like, I think to me, Josh Allen, and it's not just the MVP thing of last year. It's he can put up great numbers and look amazing, but We're seeing at times what looks where. Same with Lamar Jackson. When you don't have
the consistencies
of the offensive line, and I think this goes into the point of Patrick Mahomes still
is
likely to get where to get there. And I mean, I think Drake May has entered the chat just the same.
Yeah, so I agree with you that Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump, and that Patrick Mahomes runs this conference and runs the NFL. We're fully in agreement there. I'm just saying, as you know, Mahomes is not going to go to every single Super Bowl the rest of his career.
I don't think so. I don't want to rule that out, but I don't think so.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'll sign up for that. And so somebody else has to, and I get it. I would also be holding on to the time Joe Burrow got to the Super Bowl. He has done that, and Josh Allen hasn't, so you do have that.
Overweighing
I know Josh Allen's getting to the playoffs every single year, and so I automatically have a better chance, right, getting in the dance of winning a Super Bowl if I get in the dance. And so I know Josh Allen pretty much the rest of his career, I would say, or at least let's just say, to be fair, the next 6 years, I feel pretty good in saying he's going to the playoffs each of the next six. I can't say that about Lamar, and I can't say about Joe Burrow. That's just the truth.
And I think that there is some truth to that. But because in the 5 years that Josh Allen's been there, he's been to the conference title twice and lost in the divisional round three times. So he at least gets to... two games away from the Super Bowl, all 5 years he's been an NFL starter.
I understand that, but even
that's close.
But even when he played a quarterback that didn't do that, that isn't making the playoffs, that's hurt all the time, he still lost to him.
Right, but you got to get in the dance.
I know, I understand that, but again,
his problem is more. It's more to me. This is like a Mahomes thing. His issue, his biggest issue, is that Patrick Mahomes exists.
I'm not comparing him to Joe Burrow in any way, shape, or form. Where if we the way that people talk about Joe Burrow can't make the playoffs or is hurt all the time, Josh Allen can't get to one. He can't get to a Super Bowl. It's like, my guy, if Josh Allen is that dude as much as people claim him to be, then he should make one. And he hasn't yet in 8 seasons.
Mahomes is better.
But it's not just Patrick Mahomes that he's lost to in the postseason. That's what I'm saying. It's not just a Mahomes thing. It's Josh Allen has lost time and time again, when it matters most. And I don't care about
four of the five losses are to Mahomes. So, like, you can say it's not just Mahomes. He lost one additional game.
It is absolutely
to one other quarterback.
Problem.
It's only Mahomes. Four of his five
and
seasons have ended to Patrick Mahomes.
I understand, but I'm giving you the whole picture, not just one side of it, where Josh Allen has played great. But when it matters most, this is why I say I don't think Josh Allen's got that dog in him, because the way that Patrick Mahomes wills his teams to victory time after time after time, the way that Joe Burrow, that Super Bowl run, led his team time after time after time, it feels like Josh Allen doesn't have that, and that's why I don't think he's going to make one or win one.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's what's fun about the conversation. Like, nobody knows who's going to be right on who's going to win Super Bowl. I still disagree, though, with the notion, not whether he's going to get to one or not, but like I guess the point of why, like this idea, though, like Josh Allen doesn't have that dog in him. Like, look, no, there's no like real way to measure
when
that, right?
It's something down we all to use.
Like, there's nothing for us. Like, there's not a
do the X-ray and he's got two. There's no
way
in his chest.
There's no way for you or I to prove to the other. But I will say I
think he does have that dog.
I think he does as well. I think he does as well. I mean, the 13. This goes back to there's a balance between, you know, win loss QB stuff absolutely has to matter, but also it can't be the end all. And the 13-second game is the most prime example. You watch the game, I watch the game, we all watch the game. Josh Allen did not have that dog in him in that 13-second game, and Mahomes did, and that's why Mahomes won. Like, Mahomes is clearly the better quarterback. Nobody's disagreeing, but I'll push back on, like, you know, John, he just doesn't have it in those big moments. 13-second, he scored, he went toe-to-toe, and then Sean McDermott was an idiot on the kickoff and allowed the Chiefs to be set up for the 13-second
drive. That's one example out of how many times he's been there.
You gave me that Mahomes did not beat Allen as the reason why it's not just a Mahomes problem. So what's the difference?
I didn't say anything about Mahomes.
No, you said
Josh
that.
Allen.
I said we were having the back and forth, Drew, and I said that Allen's problem is that it seems like a Patrick Mahomes problem. And you said it's not just Patrick Mahomes; it's also other quarterbacks. And Cody said four or five are Mahomes. You said yeah, but there's one other. I'm telling you one example, and you're saying that's not enough.
He lost. Look, I'm not saying like this is a Allen versus Burrow, like. The other guy.
I'm not mentioning
also,
Joe Burrow. I don't know.
No,
what
I know.
I have not mentioned him in this conversation outside of when it's been brought up.
But you were making it seem like he keeps falling short to every quarterback in the NFL. What I'm saying is he's fallen short to one of the greatest living quarterbacks of all time. And the one other time he was up against, I think, another elite level quarterback and came up short. I don't want to disregard Josh Allen's entire career because he goes or think he's not going to win a championship because he came up short against, again, the best quarterback in the NFL, and then the one other time, a different elite quarterback and came up short. I'm not going to make his entire career about the one time he came up short against a different quarterback. I'm not going to make Burrow's entire career about the one time he got past Mahomes. There's a lot of other things at play. And I'm not saying you're mentioning him. It's just, it's an interesting, look, we all talked about this before. I still think that the simple thing this comes down to, we're saying this is Allen versus Mahomes on Sunday, because it is. The simple thing comes down to, I still think you can argue 2, 3, and 4 any way you want to argue it. And that Mahomes is one. And that really this is just Jordan keeping teams from winning. This is Patrick Mahomes keeping teams from winning. That's the main story. And that's why this game on Sunday, Allen versus Mahomes, still feels so big to me, Gold. Is that every time Josh Allen goes up against Patrick Mahomes, he still has something to prove. Not just to Drew, but to everybody. And Patrick Mahomes is just about proving to everyone, I'm still better than you. It's a different kind of proof, but they're still
when is that going to get old, though? We've been talking about the same thing for 8 years now.
I think that's what happens.
Eight.
I think that is very common with great all-time duels. And that's what I think. Until and look, in fairness, if he loses two more times in the playoffs, the Josh Allen thing does lose some steam.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not denying that. He's lost to him 4 times in the playoffs. At some point, Allen versus Mahomes doesn't ring the same. But it is a great rivalry. That's why it gets discussed.
Yeah, it's the two best quarterbacks in football. And they're playing twice a year. It's the rivalry in the National Football League right now. All right, up next, let's talk with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He'll be on the broadcast in Buffalo on 96.5 The Fan. We'll ask him about Mahomes versus Allen. We'll also talk about the weapons that Josh Allen has and what it means if the Chiefs win or lose on Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.